An Easter Sunday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on April 11, 1993, entitled, The Faith of Jesus Vindicated. The scripture readings are Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, Romans 1, verses 1 through 6, and Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. The texts for the sermon are Ezekiel 37, verse 9, Romans 1, verse 4, and Mark 16, verse 6. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
Carl Barth used to say he played a piece of Mozart every morning. He began his morning with a piece of Mozart. And he had a picture of John Calvin to keep him humble and a picture of Mozart to keep him exalted right over his desk. But Barth said that when God was present, the angels played Bach. But when God wasn't around, the angels played Mozart. And I believe it. Good morning. We welcome you to Christ Community. We're happy that you're with us. If you are a visitor this morning, there are cards in the hymnal rack. We'd love to know who you are and how we could get a hold of you. So don't sign up if you're not interested. I mean, you know, be careful. It's dangerous coming to a place like this. You could get involved. Now, I want to tell you that next Sunday is Low Sunday. Low Sunday in the church. The church kind of goes like this all the way up to Easter, and then it goes boop. See? Reality hits. But we knew that spring break this year had Palm Sunday at one end and Easter at the other. So we thought, we'll fool them. We'll duplicate Easter the next Sunday. Next Sunday, another Easter. And we're just going to go pip, 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 pip. And who knows where it'll end. So, come back. And we'll continue to rejoice together. I have long been of the conviction that if we celebrated Lent properly, and if I could preach honestly in Lent, all I would need do on Easter Sunday was to say the Lord is risen, to make the gospel announcement that God raised Jesus from the dead. If through those long and heavy weeks of the Lenten season, I could with integrity and fidelity be honest to the story of Jesus, to the way of Jesus, this year to the faith of Jesus, that then this day could be simply the celebration of that miracle that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now note, the miracle is that God raised Jesus from the dead. From the dead. The creed says he was dead and buried, and I suppose the buried was to emphasize the fact that we're talking about a dead person here. Jesus died. Jesus was crucified. And God raised Jesus up. You read the New Testament, you'll find that almost totally it is ascribed to God. The miracle of resurrection is God's act, not Jesus' act. Jesus did not rise from the dead because there is something intrinsically different in him from you and from me. Jesus was dead and lives because God raised Jesus up. The God whom we worship is the Creator, the living God, the source of life, the one whose breath is spirit that inspires and enlivens and is able to bring the dead to life. That's the Easter miracle. And that's what we're celebrating here this morning. The Lord is risen because the God of Israel has raised Jesus from the dead. And so, we celebrate and we rejoice because we see this one whose way we have followed and whose faith we have examined, vindicated by God. This one who proclaimed the nearness of God, the grace of God. This one who spoke of a God whose presence is unbrokered, available. This God who excluded no one but included all. This God who forgives us. This God, the one Jesus proclaimed, is the one who raises Jesus from the dead. We had to go through the darkness. We had to see this one who proclaimed the God of the abandoned as abandoned. This one who proclaimed the presence of God alone in the darkness. And he died. But God raised Jesus from the dead, vindicating the way of Jesus, saying yes to the faith of Jesus, saying yes to the things that Jesus taught and the life that he lived. That's what we celebrate today. Jesus is alive. Jesus' way is vindicated. And we rejoice. In Mark's account, the ending of the gospel, the original gospel at the 8th verse, the last word is afraid. They didn't know really what had encountered them. With a little more time to reflect, the Apostle Paul could speak about Jesus as declared to be the Son of God through the resurrection from the dead. But as a matter of fact, the church has always seen in the raising of Jesus the yes of God to the way of Jesus, the authentication of his person, and the vindication of his message. And so, we celebrate this one whose way we have been following, whose faith we have been examining. God raised him up. Hallelujah. But let me ask you a question this morning. Let me raise a question for your Easter meditation. It's a very important question. It's a very critical question. It's a question I would rather not ask you. It's a question you would rather not be asked. Because after the long Lenten season and all of the darkness, we would much rather, I think, this morning simply celebrate, kick up our heels, throw up our arms, sing our songs, let all of this beauty run over us amidst our alleluias and the ringing of bells. But I think it is a tendency of all of us too often to rush out of the darkness, to rush into the light, to celebrate, to breathe a sigh of relief, and to be glad that we're done once again with that tough slugging of our way through the heaviness that led us to Golgotha and to darkness and to abandonment. Lest we do that too quickly this morning, this is the question I raise. If Good Friday had been the last chapter, if the cross had proved to be the end, if there had been no public vindication of Jesus, no move by the God of Israel, would you follow him still? Do you feel the question? Would you follow him if the cross were the last chapter? I've been wrestling with that question. It's a terribly important question. It brings me before the whole issue of why I follow Jesus. why I am a Christian. It has to do with my whole orientation over against life and the degree to which I seek to follow Jesus. Oh, let me be very clear that I follow falteringly, inadequately, but nonetheless, I want to say that as I have wrestled with it, even if the cross were the last word, I would still follow Jesus. I believe in Jesus, in the way of Jesus, in the faith of Jesus. I would follow Jesus even if there were not Easter. I don't follow Jesus because of that public vindication. I don't follow Jesus because God raised Jesus up and because He lives, I too shall live. I don't follow Jesus because of anything Jesus promises to do for me or provide for me. As I have struggled with that question, I've got to say, I will follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus, bringing with it its own reward if there's nothing more. Would you join me? Think about Him for a moment. Think about the freedom with which He lived. We've called Him a destabilizer. He upset those who had a vested interest in maintaining the status quo. He opposed the politics of separation, the politics of holiness, the whole religious institution that excluded people, divided people. He called rather for a politics of compassion. He challenged every power group in the society of His time. Think of the freedom that He had. Think of the strength. Think of the courage it took to challenge the conventional wisdom, to call to account those social prejudices and biases by which society operated without thinking. Think of the strength and the courage, the result of the freedom that He had. Wouldn't you want to be like that? But it wasn't only a strength with a tough edge, but it was a strength that was soft in the center, a strength full of compassion, a way of genuine humility, a life lived in intimate relationship, affirming community, a ministry of care. Jesus was really something. Wasn't Jesus really something? Wouldn't you really want to be like Jesus if there wasn't anything more than Good Friday? Wouldn't you really want to be that kind of a person? Isn't that an inspiring presence, a compelling person? I have to say, however haltingly and however falteringly, yes, Jesus, I'll follow. That's really who I want to be. But I anticipate a question in your mind at this point. You say, strange question you bomb us with on Easter. Doesn't Easter make any difference then? Are you denying then the wonderful good news? And of course, I'm not. I want to say I would follow Jesus because following Jesus would carry its own reward, and that is really enough for the realization of the highest and the finest and the best of what it means to be human. But thank God, the last chapter was not Good Friday. If the last chapter were Good Friday, then I would have to live without hope. Then any reasonable person with any sensitivity would live with a kind of unrelieved despair. Because in our world today, no different than the world of Jesus' day, he is crucified again and again in the Somalias and the Bosnias and the Latin Americas and the Israel-Palestinian conflict and in Northern Ireland and in the hopelessness of the city and the poverty of the ghetto and in the greed and acquisitiveness in the racism, in the phobias that cause people to be bashed and battered in a society that's tearing itself apart with a divisiveness and a rancor and a bitterness. I would have to look at it all and I would have to say, Jesus, I will follow you. Jesus, I will be like you. Jesus, I will seek to live with your freedom and with your compassion and with your love and with your grace. But Jesus, it will always end up then in the darkness and in crucifixion. Then I have to say to the one who was murdered, the victim, that there will be no release. I have to say to the one oppressed that the oppressor will always come out on top. I will have to say to those who are tyrannized, there is no possibility of a transformation. I'll have to say to this world with all of its awful darkness, I'll have to say that the human experiment is a tragedy. If Good Friday is all there is, I would rather live as Jesus lived and die as Jesus died than to choose any other alternative. But then I will have no hope. And I will live amidst constant heavy despair. And I will have to say that the last word is tragedy. And so thank God. God raised Jesus from the dead. No emergency E-unit at the 11th hour. No spectacular supernatural intervention. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus died. He was dead. Easter is about the God who does not allow dead to be dead, but raises the dead because God is the living God whose breath inspires, who creates, and who brings life from the dead. Out of the darkness, out of the despair, out of the tragedy, the God of Israel is the God who will not take the no of all of our human sin and obstreperousness, but continues to affirm a yes. The God of Easter is the God who assures us that there is a larger grace of things, and that at the heart of reality beats a heart that is love, a love that will be crucified and rise again, crucified and rise again, until finally that love breaks down every barrier and scatters the last vestige of darkness. That's why I need Easter. Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you knew, but it's now too late." And it was too late. And Jerusalem was decimated, destroyed. And a group of Jews fled south to the fortress of Masada, where they barricaded themselves in this massive fortress, which is almost impenetrable. And the Roman legions pursued them there and threw up their ramparts, built huge constructions in order finally to be able to get over the walls and to finally do away with this band of people who were praying to Yahweh God. And when they got in, they found that band of Jewish believers had taken their own lives. They were all dead. But if you would visit the fortress of Masada today and see the excavations of the ruins, you would be pointed to a room that was the synagogue where this band worshipped even while the ramparts were being thrown up. And in those ruins where they excavated, in that room that was the synagogue, was the fragment of a manuscript. And the manuscript was of Ezekiel, and the fragment was Ezekiel 37, a valley of dry bones. Son of man, can these bones live? O God, thou knowest. Proclaim to these bones. And the wind began to blow, the spirit, the wind, the creative energy of God, and this valley of dry bones became a standing army, flesh, bone to bone, a standing army, living people, resurrected, given life from the dead. And those who died at their own hand with the Romans at the door, died believing that Rome would not have the last word, and the boot of the oppressor would finally be removed by the God of Israel, who is a God of the living, who brings hope in every circumstance, who will never abandon nor ever let us go. I would follow Jesus if Good Friday were all there is. But thank God, there's Easter.